Stand by for action.
Welcome to Dogsthorpe Infant School Launchpad.
This is your captain speaking. We've been cleared for departure.
Okay, Eddie, start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let's go.
This podcast is brought to you by Eddie Edster, the Dogsthorpe Infant School Wellbeing Dog.
Welcome back to Eddie's Launchpads. It's the Dogsthorpe Infant School podcast for parents, teachers and schools. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining us today. Last week, we were talking to the wonderful Russell Prue, who provides school radio around the country. Russell, welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. Who thought it's like a pair of Marks and Spencer's elasticated waistband trousers? Thank you so much.
No, it's lovely to have you with us. Last week, you mentioned very briefly about COVID, and I know you did some work, very important work in that field. Would you like to share with our listeners what you did, Russell?
Thank you so much. Well, it was the 20th of March. I remember, everyone remembers where they were. Mm. We could see it happening. We just had an exhibition in London and lots of people were unwell and we could kind of see. So the industry knew something had to be done. You know, in retrospect, we probably locked down a little later than we ought to have done. However, that's as it is, and there's an inquiry in progress to ascertain that and tease that out. So I could see that we were going to get stuck. I'd already started like you, regular podcasts. So I thought what we need to do is move to a daily model now. I'm not going to be welcome in school. School's going to be shut for a while. No one's going to want to buy a radio station. No one's going to want to do it. Let's do something to help colleagues out. So at the very start, there was nothing. There wasn't even exercise for Mr. Wicks. There was nothing at all on that. Even the BBC hadn't got themselves in order. So I rang around a few friends, teamed up with one of my best customers, Ian Rocky, who's a head teacher of a school in Wiltshire. He'd got a radio station from me and was already broadcasting live. So we found a couple of other folks, Pi Corbett and a couple of other teachers. And we started on the Monday. We hit the deck running with daily, live daily audio show. So we were going to go at 9 o'clock, but then Wixie came in with his exercise. So we thought, well, we better go, we'll let him do, because they're all going to want to do that. And they did. So I'm glad we said no, 9:30. So we went at 9:30 to 10:30. We had authors on, Anthony Horowitz, Michelle Robinson, I'm trying to think of something, loads and loads and loads of children's authors on, read, and we'd then critique that writing and we'd set some writing exercises. And so our young people were using some simple kind of Padlet, is a brilliant writing website writing. So we set our website up and children would be writing and we'd be correcting and critiquing their work live on air. And that was really exciting. So we did that for 2 years, really, producing daily radio shows on and off with lots of really, and it was very good because authors, of course, were suffering from the same problem. They couldn't get themselves an audience and they needed to keep themselves professionally. I took a hit financially on that, didn't earn a penny for 2 years, used a lot of our savings up to do it, but it was the right thing to do just to keep things going. So we'd set learnradio.net up and all of those shows are still up to enjoy now, so they will come with lesson plans, all the things that everyone else is now doing. Thank you so much for that. But you know what, someone has to do it first. Someone has to be out there as the trailblazer, and we seemed perfectly equipped to do it. I had a studio at home. All we just needed was, you know, so people rapidly bought USB microphones, and I found some brilliant software which are still used today, which links everyone together. We just brought everyone together. Same kind of software that we're using to hook our studios up. And we just do a 60-minute show. And the children loved it. I mean, we had 1.6 million children enjoying our shows. And we could see and measure that. And teachers, and I'm still working with one of those teachers, Maria Caneda. We just did the BET exhibition in London together. She and I are still very good friends. And we've hosted. And then we were doing crafty cafes. So we kind of moved it away from the core literacy into something that people would craft. And they take photographs on their phones. There's that magical word again, and then upload those to the website. And then we'd have lots of children doing crafting things. And then Saturday shows turned up. And so learnradio.net was just born as a platform to reach. And so people say, why didn't you do it visually? Well, we did sometimes towards the end start doing them visually. But for tech poor households where bandwidth is a problem, you can listen to radio on a mobile phone. You don't need huge, super fast band. If you've got, you know, lots of siblings all download or watching Netflix or other platforms are available. Well, of course they are, but they're not as good as Netflix. So let's be honest about that. So, however, for tech poor households where you haven't got a laptop that's spare, you can listen to on a mobile phone, the audio stream. And so lots of children said they're enjoying this on their phones, and it's a lovely way of engaging. And we had lots of guests and just had the time of our lives. And I've kept that going because I use it when I'm doing workshops with schools, so that schools can have an experience if they have no equipment at all, but they have some literacy or some oracy targets that they want to just want to dip their toe in the water. You just need a USB microphone. I hook a laptop up to my studio here. I play all of the jingles from my end. So I'll hit the news jingle. I will talk privately onto their speakers without my voice on the show, give them the cue points, the ins and the outs, and then we just hear their voices. And all of their shows are up on learnradio.net for you to enjoy. In fact, I've recently curated a list of some of those best examples so that if folks want to see and hear what this looks like, what improvement in speech and language sounds like for their pupils, they can just go to learnradio.net/stations, and it's all there. And then you can see the kind of the designs that go alongside this, because young people just we need a logo, miss. We've got to have a logo, you know. And then they'll go and there's some amazing designs, pupil inspired logos there, and it's something that kids can get their teeth stuck into. So lots of my very successful radio stations, and success is measured by listener numbers, quality of output, and parental engagement. So those three things there, not just on numbers. You can't buy your listeners.
No, you can't.
They're organically created because people tell other people this is good stuff. So the good measures of that are up there. And so go and have a listen to some of that. And they've all got magical bits in of young people hosting. So the very best examples are young people doing this themselves. Often no adult voices at all, except as guests. And that plays nicely into pupil voice and student councils and all of those things that make young people feel special and important in their school. Part of the community, really. It ticks a lot of boxes there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure a lot of people have done this, but publicly, thank you for all you did during COVID, because the work that you did was literally invaluable. And as I've often said before, folks, there are some people who seem to get all sorts of awards and medals, and they've done very little, really. And I look at the New Year's honours, or the look at the birthday honours, and I think, for that, you got a medal for that. And then I read things like what you've done, I hear what you've done, I see the amazing work of people like Al Kingsley has done, and I think to myself, why are these people not in? You know, why is it some person who's, let's face it, as a celebrity, done very little, gets this medal, and yet, or an MP, I'm not going down that route, gets this medal and done practically nothing, and yet here is somebody who's done amazing work. So thank you,
bless you,
Russell.
Thank you. Not enough people have done that, but thank you so much.
No, it's very valuable
work.
Right.
thing to do. Any colleague with the wherewithal, the capacity, would have done the same. It was the right thing
well
to
done,
do.
Well done, mate.
But it is nice, and I'm with you entirely on your... I share your pain and your view as well. I know, but still, never mind.
There we go.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, absolutely. The thing that I want to say to our listeners who are listening, wherever you're listening around the world, wherever you are in Europe or further afield, some of you listen because you're homeschooling your child. Not necessarily the best way, but if that works for you or your child, then okay. Use some of these resources. You know, listen to what Russell's produced, because there might be something there that you can use at home that will help your child. But let's talk about the school radio and what you do, what you're offering right at this minute, because I know that you're already building your next three, aren't you? And I'd like to ask you some questions that I think people who are thinking about this or maybe hearing it for the first time will ask you.
Okay.
When people think about radio and producing a radio program, they think about what they've seen on TV, these huge decks and all the bells and whistles, and they probably think, oh, that's going to cost a lot of money, or that's going to, how do we store it and things. Could you explain to our listeners a little bit about what is required, looking after it, caring for it, if there isn't a room, because not every school has got a room that they can use as their radio room. So how does it actually work, Russell?
It's good to say, and it's a really good question. Every school is different. Children are different. The chemistry of the children are different. The setting is different. The community is different. And the funding available will also be different. I think the first question that I have when someone says I'm interested, I might say, what do you want to achieve with it? That's the first question there. Have you got some space? There is no doubt that having dedicated space, you will do more, you will achieve your goals more quickly, and be able to take the children on a much more richer journey if you've got a dedicated space. However, some of my successful radio stations have just got a bit of kit in the back of the classroom. And because they're broadcasting at break time, no one in the classroom, at lunchtime, no one in the classroom, and after school, no one in the classroom, it's perfect. Where they run into trouble is when they want to embed that activity, that practice into curriculum use. The classroom is being used in the day. And so as long as your objectives about how you want to use it don't impinge on, well, we'd like class 5J from over the road, or we'd like our feeder school to come in and use it. Well, we can't do that because it's in the classroom. And so do you have space to timetable them out? And if you did, why not put the radio station there? So invariably, once we've had the conversation with heads, they'll find the room. So I'm trying to think. Caretakers' cupboards have been used. Old changing rooms have been partitioned and separated. Old terrapins outside in the playground have been converted, one in Wiltshire called the Radio Shack. And so there's this old shed. And so they just had parents turn up over a weekend and they clad it beautifully. And it looked like an old, just some kind of building that should be on a beach somewhere, just on an Australian shoreline, for example. You know, those kind of surf shack kind of looks there.
Yeah.
And the kids love to go in there. Yes, there are some, it needs to be secure. Yes, it needs to be, you know, you need to do lots of things and it needs to be fit for purpose and all the rest of it. But space is at a premium, as you well know, and there are lots of issues with space in there. But schools will ask about that and then off they go. And then the next question is, how much money have you got? And I hate that question, but it has to be asked. Kids do not consider talking into the edge of an iPad an exciting task now. Let's pretend we're all on the radio, everyone. Just hold that iPad up and let's speak into the corner, because that's where the microphone is. That's not enough. And I call that bling factor. How much theatre do you need? You know, all of the windshields we're looking, that's the foam rubbery thing on the top of the microphone to absorb spit and anything else, and a bit of wind noise that comes out of your mouth when you speak into it. I colour these in a really bright orange, not available in orange. I colour them. So I have them dyed in a safe dye. So you get this more bling. There's wow. Orange is a very powerful, motivational, inspiring color. And so and the technology as well has to be very easy to use and simple, so it's accessible to all pupils, not just the super bright ones that have spent the time looking at a hugely lengthy manual. I don't have a manual. The software doesn't come with a manual. It's incredibly easy. There's a free download for kids to play with at home if they wanted to do that. Those are important things there. And then where do you want to take it? At the start, people don't think about broadcasting to parents live. They don't think about those. They don't think about storybooks or having children read stories or adverts. They don't think about that. So we just, you know, it's a journey. It's that magical J word. It's a journey. You can't do everything on day one, but to have a plan is important. And Al would always back me up with his brilliant titles about, you know, how to implement a strategy. Have a plan. You can change your mind at any time. This is not a fixed plan, but have a plan from the start. Know where you're going to take those children.
What are the main things that are needed?
Good question. Touch screens. So no mouse clicks. We use touch screens in radio studios because they're silent. You can start a jingle off without the click of a mouse. You just take your finger and you click anywhere on the screen. And if you then consider this button could be any color, in any language, and any size, now we start getting into the territory of accessibility and a whole range of interesting stuff where children either have poor hand-to-eye coordination. And so that's, wow, that's really exciting. So much easier than trying to move a mouse and all the rest of it. So touch screens are important. Good quality microphones are important. Headphones which auto mute. Now, once upon a time, we had headphones that we'd put on the desk and they'd leak. You know, trying to explain to a year five pupil that headphones leak. Leak? What do you mean? What do you mean? They're leaking sound. And so I buy only AKG headphones which turn themselves off automatically as you take them off your head. Now, they're not cheap. They're £110 a pair. And I look at what my competitors are offering in the marketplace and they're not buying headphones anywhere near that good. But for the good of the child, for the quality of the broadcast, because you don't want that high-pitched howl round whistling noise, which you'll get if the headphones aren't either turned down as you take them off. And so I like the idea of doing that. And it's doing it well. So I guess the other message would be, you can't do this well cheaply. You can do it cheaply, but you can't do it as well as if you've got some more money. And that's just the way it is. Faster cars cost more money. Mm. Not that everyone has to drive around super, super fast. So, you know, it's what suits your setting, what suits your aspirations with it. But there's a whole range of entry levels. I mean, we're looking at a few thousand pounds here. I mean, this is, you cannot do this for 200 quid. You cannot pop to a store and buy a couple of knickknacks and it just kind of works for 200 quid. I think you probably could do that once. It was in the 1960s. And when you were at school,
yes,
with
thank
your
you.
Tannoy system, always a pleasure. You could do it then, but only for a very short space of time and with lots of expertise that we don't have in school and find it hard to hang on to. So that expertise usually finds its way out of a school. And then you've lost the capacity. So if the kids can't operate it themselves, you're onto a sticky problem there because they've always got to wait for the teacher to come. There will be something that holds the teacher up. La-di-da, you can see where this is going. Mm. So for it to make the impact that you want, the kids have to operate it entirely themselves. So think about that. So mixing desks, which whilst complex, do all that are easy to use. Systems, you know, DJ decks, if they want to mix songs. So you can buy a Newmark DJ for that scratching and sliding and those kind of creative. And I've got some primary schools that are recreating pop songs on a regular basis by mashing them and editing them together. How creative is that? Amazing. And they're getting lots of listeners through that. Really easy.
If you're listening to this and you're a head teacher thinking, oh, I've not got thousands of pounds, well, you might have a PTA who might want to raise a few funds, and you might have a friends group of the school. Hello to all the people over at Fulbridge Academy in Peterborough. Hello to you. I was meeting you the other day talking about your podcast, and I suggested maybe it's a school radio link, that sort of thing. And always, you know, there are ways of raising funds, and this is a very, very important thing. And maybe you've got, there are businesses, local businesses that like to sponsor it. All those sorts of things are possible. And in that way, Russell, the money sometimes just comes along, doesn't it?
It does. Now, Tesco's are a good place, and I've got lots of help. So do contact me. So those Tesco's are still doing the blue chips. There is a limit of £5,000 you can get from Tesco's, but that'll get you a long way. It'll get you a radio station and get you a long way on your journey. But you have to do a presentation, and it takes so many months. And you just send all the parents to Tesco's. Other supermarkets are available, but you just go there and put your blue chips in, and you get the most. And then whoever gets the most blue chips that week gets the £5,000 or whatever they've bid for. But how about advertisements? Here is a real advert I'm going to play into this podcast right now, live from my desk here. This is from a print photocopying business that gave the school £2,000 for this advert.
At school, we love it when the work our teachers give us is clear and crisp to read.
Finding the right print and copy equipment for your business is crucial.
So that's all you're getting. What I wanted to do is just establish the fact that, yes, it's possible, and two, it's the children that make the advertisement. This isn't a pre-done kind of local radio station advert. This is an advert the children have understood the business. They've sometimes been on a trip. They may have looked at the business. They've had a conceptual understanding of what the business does, and it doesn't have to be that big. This is someone that has a foot clinic, and this is £200.
Do you suffer from sore, painful, or tired feet? Well, here's the answer. Contact Angela Davis Foot Mobile Clinic. She is MRFA's top podiatrist clinician.
Now, that was worth just hearing a year six boy say podiatrist. Yes. I mean, wow, stunning, stunning. Yeah. £200. Angela gave the school £200 for that advert. And it doesn't have to be played in the playground. It finds its way into the podcasts, which are then published by the school after the live element, should there be one. So this is directly influencing parents' behavior, who strangely enough live in the area that the child made the podcast for, because their kids go to the school. And then you could sell a plaque to that local business saying that they're supporting the school, and everyone wants to be associated with the school. So big multi-chains, you're not going to be able to get anything out of huge multi-chains, but local businesses, sometimes with children at the school, are a great source of fun. This is ongoing. This is initial funding. This is, a lovely way of connecting young people to their community. It works.
And everybody benefits from this. It's not just parents.
No. And they're listening to the neighbours of the child are listening to their children, because parents often don't go immediately to their child. They want to listen to their neighbour's child's voice so that they know where their child is in the pecking order and the skill set. That's a psychological trait, an interesting listener demographic, but it makes the listeners, and then there's great Aunt Maud, who may have left the county and lives somewhere else. We only see her at Christmases and high days and holidays. So a lovely way of connecting extended family or family who have moved away, who want. And so listen to some of those shows, colleagues, if you're not sure, and you'll hear on a live example where children are broadcasting that parents are writing or sending text messages in or sending emails or voice notes on WhatsApp, however it might be, to communicate. They are commending the show. So you're doing a great job. And I've just heard from great Aunt Maud, and wow, she's enjoying the show in Sydney or wherever she, and you go, wow, this is so live. I've had children in tears hosting live radio shows where we were. They've heard from family members who find it difficult to express emotions, and they write in and say, "You're doing so well, David. It's an amazing to hear your voice. That was a great sports report."
Yeah, we have that in our school, because it's a very multi-cosmopolitan area, Dogsthorpe, and we have lots of people who come, who've left families, even as far as the Ukraine, so there's all sorts of people from all parts of Europe. And we know that there are grandparents who listen to this podcast because they know they can find out little snippets about what's going on in school. So there's no reason, that's all very important stuff. If this has whetted people's appetites, how do they get in touch with you, Russell?
Okay, I'm easily found on the internet. I've been doing this a very long time. This is my 60th year. Don't tell anyone. So you can easily find me, but if you go to learnradio.net, all the contact details are there. That parent company is called Anderton Tiger. So andertontiger.com. My email address is on there, but you can find me very easily. It'd be lovely to hear from any colleagues who just want to explore the opportunities and see how it might go. And you don't need equipment. You could test the water with a workshop from me for just a few hundred pounds.
Well, there we go, folks. Get in touch with Russell, because here is somebody who can really help your children to use their skills, hone in on the creativity they've got, and build something really important, not just for the school, but for the whole community. Here is something you really need to explore and see whether it's for your school. Russell, thank you for joining us today. We'll make sure that all of your links are in the podcast text so that you're just one click away from our listeners, or our listeners are one click away from you. Thank you for your time. If there's any other time you'd like to come back on the Launchpad and to share things, don't be a stranger. You're a dear friend to the school and to myself personally. So thank you for being a part of this show today.
Bless you, Dave, and thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Dogsthorpe Infant School Podcast. Join Captain Dave and his co-pilot, Eddie Edster, the well-being dog, on another launch pad soon. Until then, always remember to be kind, be respectful, and most of all, dream, believe, and shine. Dogsthorpe Infant School is part of Hampton Academies Trust.